Aside from farm equipment, have you ever wondered what TikTok farmer Mark Thomas collects? Tune in to find out about Mark's favorite Ag Leader products and how he utilizes them on his operation. Welcome to Ag Leader, the podcast. I'm your host, Russ Moorman. In celebration of Ag Leader's 30th anniversary, I'm here to bring you a limited edition series about the evolution of agriculture and Ag Leader. Ag Leader has been and continues to be an industry-leading innovator in the precision ag sector. We provide a complete line of top-tier products designed and tested to help growers plan, plant, apply, and harvest more efficiently and effectively. Our products are backed by a full technical support team and a commitment to quality unmatched in the industry. So today we're talking about precision farming with influencer, third-generation farmer, and Ag Leader user Mark Thomas. We'll discuss everything there is to know about his farming operation, maybe some Kentucky bourbon, how efficiencies on the farm are really what he's after, not necessarily farm growth, and a lot of other things that you might not have known. So we're doing this, Mark, as part of our 30th year anniversary. We were just talking before this about the podcast you were on just a couple weeks ago, and you mentioned that you were in your mid-30s. So Ag Leader's 30 years old. So that would have meant that you'd be about 5 years old when Ag Leader started, and that would also meant you've been about 10 when I started at Ag Leader. I've been here a little over 25 years now. For those out there that are listening to this that might not know about you, tell us a little bit about BLT Farms, and let's get a little bit of background about you, and then we'll dive in.
So at 5 years old, when Ag Leader would have started, I would have been riding around on a K gleaner with a two-row head with my grandpa.
Nice.
So he was farming at that time. We had a dairy. My dad grew up on a dairy farm, and we milked cows till 1994. Then we purchased the home farm here. My mom and dad bought it from my mother's parents. We kind of started grain farming. Then we had tobacco, row crops, cattle, and hay. And at that time, we had a farrow to finish hog operation. We ran that up until the late 90s when the hog industry crashed. And that's kind of when we turned and started focusing more on row crops.
Gotcha.
I was your typical kid, wanted to farm, didn't want to do anything but farm, was in FFA all through high school, then went to the University of Kentucky and got a ag economics degree. Completed there in December 2009 and then came home in 2010 and started farming full time. I'm very fortunate to be able to do that. You mentioned BLT Farms, which is our farm name, and that actually stands for my parents, Becky and Larry Thomas. It just kind of happens to fit with bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
See, that now I learned something, so that's cool. So I'm trying to remember now. You still do the row crop stuff. You still do some hay cropping as well. You got rid of all the tobacco, and you don't do any cotton or anything like that either, right?
That's right. We're primarily corn and soybeans. We've got 5 acres of sweet corn for the farmer's market.
Yep.
And we still have some alfalfa and some grass hay, our own grass hay for round bales for our cows. We got about a 25 head beef cattle herd, and then we raise square bales for the horse industry.
I got you.
Pretty big industry here in Kentucky.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, between the mint juleps and the horse racing, I guess. So the bale thing actually brings up a question that I had that is not necessarily Ag Leader related, but I'm newer to TikTok, and I was watching your videos that some of them have this warning, you know, hey, don't do this, you could hurt yourself or whatever. It just seems really strange that watching square bales get gathered and built, or I think one where you're calibrating the steady steer got it. Do those affect your viewership at all with warnings like that, or no?
It's completely random when they put it on there. The first one that popped up for me was last year. I was running the vertical tillage over some ground. We were using our 8270, so I was running a steer command in it with in command.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, auto steer, I told them in my appeal that I was wearing my seatbelt. And, you know, we were moving fast. We were running, I was running about 12 miles an hour. So it looked super fast on a tractor. And they actually took the video down for dangerous acts. And I appealed it and won. They reinstated it with the little line across the bottom. This could be harmful. But what blows my mind is, like you said, you don't know what gets that. Because I've seen people jumping out of tractors and doing stuff that really could get you hurt, and everybody's doing everything right, and TikTok flags it. It won't necessarily hurt views except on that video.
I got you.
When they tag something like that, it can hurt it because they don't push it out to people.
Yep.
So I've been fortunate. That's the only video that I've had taken down. But, you know, I won the appeal, so it did get put back up with a disclaimer on it anyway.
All right. So I sidetracked us a bit there. Again, one of my superpowers. So we'd kind of talked about how you got involved in the farm. So who all in your family is involved with the day-to-day operations? You know, how many folks do you have that work on the farm?
So it's myself and my dad full-time. Mother, when she's not at her full-time job, she'll help move equipment around, and she primarily takes care of the sweet corn selling at the farmer's market, her and my sister and some of her siblings. And my wife will help with that some too. When my wife's not at her full-time job, she's the same way. She'll run, get parts, or she'll help move the stuff around and feed cows if she need to, or help do whatever to fill in. I've got an uncle that just retired from his full-time job, and he helps drive a truck and helps fill in as needed. So as far as full-time on the farm, it's just me and my dad. And then we have some part-time seasonal help that'll help get the crop in and out and stuff like that.
Yep. Sounds absolutely normal.
True family farm. Everybody's got their job.
All right. So if I didn't know anything about farming and I came and stopped by and just said, hey, what's your role on the farm? How would you explain your role?
I'm kind of the jack of all trades and master of none.
I totally get that.
My dad and I both kind of just fill in and do what needs to be done. We have two corn planters, so we both plant. I do all the spraying. I do all the taking care of the application and figuring out what we need, where we need it, get all that done. In the fall, he primarily runs the combine, and I'll run the grain cart when I don't need to be running trucks. So primarily running trucks in the fall, as well as just kind of doing everything else that needs to be done. You know, when the hay's got to be done, we both just jump in and go. We farm together, but we farm separately. You know, we farm together as a whole, but he's financially involved in his acres and I'm financially involved in mine. We don't necessarily have anything together, but we jump in and do it together. It seems to get things done easier that way. We can run bigger equipment. We can run nicer equipment. We can buy things in bulk, a little size discount there. When you put our operation together, we're larger than average size for here, so it helps a lot in purchasing and even selling, really, because we can put together and fill a larger contract. And sometimes
that makes sense. Sidetrack you for just a second. I heard you mention that you run the grain cart. My family was fortunate enough to be able to prototype Cardace. Did I hear you say that you used Cardace this last fall?
We did. We had Cardace last fall for the first time, and actually was our first experience with running Ag Leader yield monitoring in a combine. Prior to that, we had just run what was in case combines. But this, we actually had the 1200 in command in there. And now I won't run one without it. It was that much better. And I'd always talked about doing it, but we just never did. But having Cardace where they can talk to each other, it's a game changer.
Yep.
It's one less thing to worry about. You can just hit the auto steer button. It'll steer it and line it up where it needs to be. You just move your speed. Keep that right. You can know when the combine's full. You can know which way he's going. If he's in the back corner of the field, you know if you need to go around the front side of the corn or the back side of the corn. It's just an absolute game changer for running a grain cart. It really is.
Yeah, I couldn't believe, you know, between Cardace and Agfinity being able to see where the truck's at, knowing where the grain cart's at, knowing where the combine's at. If you're just somebody bringing a part or bringing supper to the field, you know where everybody's at. It's kind of neat like that.
Cardace is another one of those things to me that I wouldn't have initially thought, well, that's going to be valuable.
Yeah. But
again, it's something else that I wouldn't want to be without.
Yep, completely understand that. I remember you talking about some of your early videos that took off, the one where you and your wife were talking about you both own the truck and you both own that, and now you both own a tractor. So a little background, for those folks who might not be 100% familiar with us, how did you start doing TikTok videos?
So it started out as there was some guys arguing over combines. And what combine was the best? And John Deere come out with this X9 combine, supposed to be the best thing in the world. And they were talking about how it's so much better than everything else and how you put letters and numbers and everything. So I just kind of commented and tagged them and said, there's one combine company that's never had to put letters in their name, and pointed at my 7240 case combine behind it. And I think that video got 20 or 30,000 views. And it was, wow, well, maybe this is easier than I thought. So just kind of started throwing stuff together, sharing what we do on the farm and funny things that happen that somebody else might see and thinks funny, or take a situation that's not necessarily funny and put a little funny twist on it. You know, one thing was I was on the phone with my banker and they were questioning my yield number. I put down like 317 bushel. And so that's way above your APH. And I said, well, you know, I'm trying all this other stuff that's supposed to give me 2 bushel and we're wide dropping and we got all this stuff. It's going to give me 20 bushel. When you add it all up, it adds up to 317. And just stuff like that. That's kind of the niche that we have, I guess, that, you know, viewers want to see.
Yep.
And we really took off with followers. And, you know, Farm Talk has just gotten so big. There's so many people on it. And not going to say everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's operation is different. You know, if we can share something that somebody will want to see that'll work, like this week, we're irrigating sweet corn with a traveling gun. And people want to see that, you know, kind of how it works. Yep. The things you might be sharing might not necessarily be what they want to see, but they might see something in your video and, hey, tell us about that.
Yeah.
And you go down a rabbit hole sharing what's going on your farm. But, you know, social media has been a blessing to agriculture, I think. Everybody needs to share their story because oftentimes in agriculture, we're playing defense.
Yeah.
You know, than playing offense. And I think stuff like this has allowed us to share that, yes, we are a family farm. And there are a lot of family farms out there because you hear the word factory farm and corporate farm. And,
yeah.
And that's not always true. So by sharing these videos on TikTok and wherever else, I hope they get out to the common public, non-agricultural public, and they can see what happens on a farm on a day-to-day basis.
I know many day-to-day farmers who watch a lot of social media and they watch other farmers doing farming, you know, and it's neat. But I also know a few folks who are not in agriculture that watch it as well. And I think that's a great thing to be able to take something that is really, as far as the percentage of the population, is pretty small and let them know we're all just ordinary people trying to make a living and there's no cloud of secrecy or anything around farming.
That's right. And with the local food movement, everybody wants to know where their food comes from, and what better way to see where it comes from than see it on social media?
I didn't even think about that part. As you were talking about your sweet corn, the local food markets and these type of avenues for growers to make additional money, it's a huge thing. And I imagine being able to see behind the scenes on that is pretty provocative and interesting to a lot of people.
It is. Yeah. You know, people who've never seen anything grow other than the grass in their yard, they're amazed by it.
I've brought people out to the farm or even here to the office where we might be working on some stuff, and we'll come into our training facility and they'll see a combine there and they'll be like, man, I've never seen it up this close. I didn't realize how big they were. And I'm like, yeah, they're monsters.
Yeah, so, especially when you meet one on our narrow Kentucky roads.
All right, I'm going to sidetrack you again. When I first started at Ag Leader, I started in the support department, and we used to come down to Kentucky for wheat harvest in June to train on calibrations. And my first impression was that the dealer we were running around with, the little narrow two-lane blacktop roads, he was just hammered down. And to this Iowa boy who's used to wider gravel roads, that was scary a little bit. I won't ever forget that. I mean, it definitely made an impression on me. So TikTok hasn't been around for years and years and years, but if somebody were to ask you, Mark, who are your influencers? Do you have anybody you try to model any of your videos after, anything you've seen that's kind of like, yeah, that works? What would you say helps bring you success on these videos, getting views, and who have you kind of modeled after?
So you kind of have to walk a thin line between truth and lies.
Fair enough.
Because if you tell lies in your videos all the time, you might get a lot of views, but eventually they're going to catch on.
Yep.
That you're full of it and you're not going to take off. If you tell the truth all the time, you're going to get genuine views, but you're not going to fool people in ridiculousness. But if you kind of walk that line right in the middle to just enough truth that you're not just blatantly telling them something that's wrong, but throwing in a little BS here and there,
yep,
to kind of keep them guessing, that's where it really takes off. I wouldn't say that I've really got anybody that I model after. There wasn't a huge group of people on TikTok, it seemed like, when I started.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few, you know, Tony Reed blew up and took off. Bushels and Barrels, same way. You know, they were all kind of early. Cody Gayer, all those guys are way bigger accounts than me, but basically do the same thing that I do. They're farmers just sharing their story and throwing some BS out there to keep it interesting. So that's kind of what we do. And we do get to showcase some products and even just stuff on our farm that we've seen that works or doesn't work, whether it be a product or a tractor or something that works in the field that we've sprayed or put in on the planter, stuff like that to get to share. That's kind of the way we go about it.
Part of my job is I get to go out and do a lot of trade shows, conferences. I talk at some grower meetings. I've worked 25 years. And one of the better parts of what I get to do is just talking, like you said, about, hey, how are these things working for you? Guys come into the booth and say, yeah, I would never done this, but I saw it on Mark's TikTok and I bought this stuff. So do you get lots of questions? I mean, for me to read all the comments to all your videos would be a full-time job, I think. But when you do a video on Ag Leader, do you get some guys that were like, oh, I hadn't thought about doing that, but maybe I should go buy a steering system or a yield monitor or whatever the case might be? I mean, how many questions do you get on products that you showcase in your videos?
Several. And I get a lot of comments outside of it. This spring, I did one on Steer Command, and 7500 Steer Command and 1200 in Command. Basically, all I did was planting my headlands around the field, and I was using SmartPath, and then had my AV line and was just switching back and forth with one easy button push. And it was amazing the amount of people who called, text, whatever, and had either A, never seen that option on Ag Leader display before, or we're running other displays, other brands, calling and asking questions about what it'll do, how easy it is, and going, man, I wish you'd quit posting videos because you're making me wish I'd have bought Ag Leader instead. And I said, well, that's not necessarily my job, but I mean, we threw Ag Leader in the planter and my dad was able to figure it out and is able to figure it out easy.
Yep.
That's why we do it. That's why we use it. I've had people call at night and be planting, you know, hey, I'm having this problem. You might know the answer.
Yeah.
When tech support's closed and their dealer might be closed. I can't always help them, but once in a while I get lucky and can help them. But the big thing has been the Agfinity and DisplayCast for us.
Yeah.
This spring we had a problem and my wife and I were out actually at my in-laws and dad was having a problem with the planter and he called me. And I said, well, hold on. So I went into the Agfinity app, pulled it up,
and,
you know, was able to look at it and see what he was doing. And I couldn't punch the buttons, but I could tell him what to punch.
And yeah, that remote support is something else.
But everybody's big question is what it costs. And so I don't always know those numbers, but you know, I'll give a good ballpark. But a lot of people will ask what it can do, why you went with it, or whatever. And actually, our first Ag Leader video was just showcasing that you don't have to buy all these unlocks when you buy an Ag Leader system, which thank you all for making it that way. You know, when I buy a 1200, I don't have to buy a steering unlock and I don't have to buy an auto swath unlock. And if you want to buy subscriptions for your receivers, obviously that's money well spent, as we found out in the last couple of years. But that kind of took off and people couldn't believe it, that there was a system out there that you didn't have to buy all that extra.
Yeah, I think it might have been the one where you were talking about planting the headlands. You mentioned that you were using TerraStar X for steering. That worked pretty good for you?
It did. It worked really well. We had run WOS for years. And 2 years ago, I think you all ran a promotion. If you bought the unlock, you got a year of TerraStar L or C Pro or whatever fit. And I bought a 7500 that year and unlocked it to C Pro. And it was amazing how much better that was than WOS. And X was, in my opinion, better than that. It's a little hard to tell. You know, pass to pass this year, you could tell it, but if we had to go back, it would really shine. And I'm really interested to see what it'll do next year.
You bet.
When we go back to that same field and try to plant between the rows, it'll shift some, but you know, if we can get close and adjust that line, we'll be good to go again.
Cool. Kind of change lanes a little bit. I'm fortunate enough to have a 95-year-old grandfather, and a lifelong farmer. He's retired now, but he loves electronics. You know, and it's funny, it must be generational. My mom, not so much. And I'm, of course, I love electronics or I wouldn't be here. But I remember him telling me, 10 or 15 years ago. He says, I sure wish that the stuff that you work with was available when I farmed. He likes to talk about a lot of very early electronics in the 80s that they implemented in our family farm. And so I guess my question to you is, from generation to generation, you said starting out riding in a two-row corn picker or combine, how has technology changed from when you remember getting started to now running a 1200 and steady steer and the 7500 and everything?
It's amazing. Both of my grandfathers passed away in 2001. The one here on the home farm had retired from farming in 94, but stayed around and helped out on the farm wherever it needed. You know, he was farming with a two-row planter, two-row combine, no cab, no air, nothing. And if he could see where we're at today, I'm sure it would just blow his mind, because we're planting with a 24-row corn planter that's fully automatic. It doesn't drive, it's hydraulic drive, so it doesn't drive off the ground like the old planters did. And it steers itself and it cuts off when it overlaps. And we farmed like that for years. We farmed without row shutoffs. We bought our first row shutoffs in 2011. And at that point, we had had an Outback, just a GPS light bar. That's all we had. Spreading fur. We ran that for years and then bought a Integra 1500 GPS. We bought a OnTrack 3. That year, and we bought SureStop clutches. And from that point, it kind of pushed us into the 21st century of what agriculture is today. There's still a lot of people that farm without technology.
Yep.
I couldn't imagine doing that now. Just the things that we've learned about our fields, not only the chemical and the fertilizer and the seed that we've saved by not overplanting, but we've been able to look at years and years of yield maps and pinpoint a spot in a field and go, something's not right there. I don't know what's going on. And actually today, it's funny, I was spraying, and there's a farm that my dad had farmed for 30 years probably. And a guy had bought part of it. It sold at auction 2 years ago. He's building a house in it, and he dug a basement. And I'm spraying, and I drive around. Dad's walking around in this basement. What are you doing? And he sends me a picture, and he said, no wonder this side of the farm was never any good. And, of course, you know, we had an 8-foot deep wall there that you could just see the soil profile. It's stuff that we never would have seen, but you could always see it on a yield monitor. That strip right through there was never as good as the rest of the farm. And it tells you that something's going on down deep. We've been able to take that and put more fertilizer where it needs to be, or less fertilizer. Same way with chemicals. You know, if you've got a spot that's constantly causing a problem, you know, we might need to go in there and rip, or maybe it needs some tile, or something's going on there. We can pinpoint that area. In my opinion, even a yield monitor that's not perfectly calibrated is still a good tool.
So we kind of went over, you started out with an Integra, you had clutches, GPS, and that sort of thing. So what Agler equipment are you running currently? What all do you have it on? What are you doing with the Agler equipment today?
We have three in-commands. And one Integra running. In commands in both planters. Both planters have SureStop clutches, hydraulic drives, and their seed tube monitoring on them. We move one of those in commands into the combine and run our harvest through it in the fall. And this spring, we had just bought a hydraulic drive spreader buggy that we're running a spinner control module on through the Integra. That's its primary job, is running on it. We still run an OnTrack 3. And just got a steady steer this year to run in steering and stuff that's not hydraulic ready. Our two planter tractors are hydraulic steering ready. Run a steer command in both of those. They're both John Deere tractors, but one of them actually has Agler wheel angle sensor on it.
Yep.
And the other actually run through the CAN system. It's new enough that just one little wire plugs in and it works. So.
Yeah, you've got it on just about everything, at least some sort of technology. So if you had to go back to the days before any of this, you know, a lot of people say, and depending on what it is, some things are better when they're simple, but would you ever want to go back to prior to having precision ag of any kind?
With what input costs today, no.
Good point.
The way our fields are, when we put that system on in 2011, we had rented a big farm. It ended up being 325 acres. That was what the Integra counted that we had planted. But I still had my KPM3 on my Kinze at the time, so it was counting overlap. And just that one farm, we had almost 25 acres of overlap.
Wow.
So this, the amount of seed, and it's not just the seed savings over that,
mm-hmm.
over the whole farm, but when we're not overlapping, we're getting better yields on these.
You have plants competing with each other so much.
Yeah. So I guess to answer your question, if I had to go back, if somebody said that's the only way you can farm is to go back there and start, yeah, I'd do it again.
Yeah.
Knowing what we know now, we'd do some things. If we couldn't do it with technology, we'd probably figure out some way to do some of the things that we're doing now. But I don't foresee going back away from technology.
While you were talking, I actually thought of a completely different question. Do you have one or two totally aha moments? You were talking about how you'd notice on the yield monitor there was a certain area that was bad, and then when your dad was noticing that basement where you, the soil here is not what it ought to be. But has there been one or two things that having technology on the farm was like, oh my gosh, this piece of information that we've just learned is really going to help us out, either profitability or cost savings? Or has there been a story that was like, yep, this is how precision ag is supposed to work?
Well, again, the row shut off and cutting off at the end, but seeing it, you always know your basins are better.
Mm-hmm.
When you fall off in one of those, and we have a lot of those, but just amazing how many places in the field that are really carrying your average.
Yeah.
And 2012 was an amazing example of that, because we averaged like 38 bushel of corn that year. Just ridiculously bad.
Yeah.
But you'd go over a hill and be zero and into a basin that'd be making 200 plus. And when you see that, you take those maps and you look at the other stuff and you start putting a trend together year after year. Those are your good spots. Those are spots where you're making money. So that's kind of one of those times, like that's how you really justify it and prove that it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes good sense to me.
And on top of that as well, another example, planters with the advanced seed monitoring. We had one year you'd watch it and it'd come around and it'd show a skip. And it'd come around and it'd show a skip and it'd show a skip. Couldn't figure out what was going on. Went back there and pulled the meter apart, and a little piece of cob or something was stuck in one of the holes and it wasn't picking up a seed.
There you go. Yeah, I love stories like that where if I hadn't had the monitor, something so simple mm-hmm. as just a little piece of debris in the planter, or I forgot to adjust something. I remember several years ago, it was a father and son team, and they were splitting duties on the combine. They had one combine, and they were looking at a yield map, and you could tell where I don't remember for sure whether the father had taken over for the son or vice versa, and there was actually a yield change in the combine. It was because they'd made changes to the combine that actually hurt what they were doing. And just simple things like that. Because if you've got the data live in front of you while you're thinking about it, while you're in the combine, while you're planning, you're more liable to do something with it than if you're looking at it 6 months later, sitting in front of your computer. So having that live data there, it puts it right there when you're sitting in the cab.
Going across the screen, and this pass made 215, but the next pass, the monitor never got over 200.
Yeah.
Okay, something's probably going on here. Did I spray different? Did I fertilize different? But you can catch that kind of stuff. It might be the door come open on the bottom of the clean grain elevator.
Exactly.
Deck plates are too wide or something like that. It's always easy to find that kind of stuff.
So with different types of equipment, different brands and types of electronics, I don't know how much experience you've had with brands of precision ag that aren't Ag Leader, but what draws you to keep using Ag Leader? I mean, you've got three 1200s and an Integra. It's obviously something that you enjoy. I've heard people say, well, it's ease of use, or it's the quality of the data, or it's sundry other things. What drives it home to you, Mark, to make you want to keep using Ag Leader equipment?
The quality of products, the ease of use, and just the reliability are three things. Like I said, we bought our first one in 11, and a short time after that, we purchased a planter and ran a different GPS setup at that time. and had a mountain of trouble with it. So we went away from that. That same planter, we put Ag Leader on it. And we did have a little bit of trouble getting everything to talk in the beginning, but never once did Ag Leader support or anybody say, well, that's their problem. That's not a problem we can fix. I've never been unhappy when I've called tech support either through my dealer or calling the 1-800 tech support number. You know, everybody's always willing to help. And there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
My dealer is extremely knowledgeable when it comes to it, and there's just a lot of people that have them. And there are other displays around here as well, other brands that people may think are better. But I don't see us going away from them just because, like I said, when we put that first display in, my dad was able to pick it up and go.
Yeah.
And if we have a problem, I can walk him through it.
Yep.
Over the phone. I can't necessarily do that with other monitors.
Yeah.
And we've got a dealer, again, that's able to do that. But there hasn't been anybody that's helped us that I haven't been able to pick that monitor up and be doing things with it that somebody who's been doing it for 10 or 12 years can do. Your platform, it is basically the same. I mean, you know, from a Insight to a 1200, the same basic platform is there, so when you learn it, it's there. I did have a few red guys around here complain when you went to this green background on the 1200s.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. That's funny. Oh, have you had a chance to use the steady steer on your Kubota yet? I know you got it calibrated, but have you had a chance to go out and use it yet?
We used it one day bush hogging, and we've been so dry that we haven't even done any hay or anything yet, but hoping we get back in the hay field here in a couple of weeks and really get to try it out. And this fall, we're going to put it on our fertilizer buggy and
cool
fertilizer and some lime. But so far, impressed, highly impressed. I was talking to my county extension agent last night, and he runs some Ag Leader stuff and was actually looking at another steering system. And we were comparing OnTrack 2 to 2 Plus to he's looking at a 3.
Yep.
And well, the 3 is a lot better than the 2 I had. And I said, and the steady steer is amazing. How, if you didn't know it was an assisted steering, you'd think it was a hydraulic steering. I mean, it's amazing how fast that thing responds.
Yep.
So really excited to get it in the field and test it at some higher speeds.
Yeah, we had the same experience. We ran all the way up through the on tracks and into steady steer. And I remember a few of the testing folks talk about how exponentially it better was than the previous products. It's like, well, geez, the OnTrack 3 wasn't terrible. And then you run that steady steer and it's amazing how good it is. So what's your favorite Ag Leader product, whether it be the display, Agfinity? I think from talking and listening to you, I was going to guess it might be Agfinity just with all the things it gets you to do. But what's your favorite Ag Leader product?
I'm going to throw you a curveball. I'm going to go with SureStop clutches.
Ooh.
When we bought that stuff originally,
yep,
we looked at air clutches, and the SureStop had just come out.
Yep.
And we ran them. We put on that planter, and I ran them for 11 seasons and never once had a problem. We've had other clutches that have not worked. So that's probably one of my favorite products that I'm running on the farm currently, the ease of it working.
Yeah.
Or compare that with a 1200. I mean, the 1200 is hard to beat as well.
Well, that's true. We actually still sell quite a few clutches because everybody's at a different level where they want to be at Precision Ag. There's not one thing that's going to fit everybody, and that's absolutely fine. You've got your full-on 1200 sure speed downforce guys, and you've got guys that just want to do shutoffs. And we actually took the sure stops out of the product catalog for a year. Next year, it was right back in there again. They're bulletproof, and it's a simple little thing that has just really change things. And you're right, it was a curveball, but it makes perfect sense why that would be a favorite of yours.
And actually, if somebody asked my opinion, if I was starting out from scratch to a ground drive planter and wanted to upgrade to clutches or whatever, I would almost skip the clutch and go straight to the sure drive.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when you figure in the clutches and the harnessing and everything, you're at least halfway to the sure drive cost.
Yeah.
So get rid of your chains, get rid of all that stuff, just go that step. So if I was starting a planter from scratch, that's where I'd go over that SureStop. But, you know, my dealer has sold probably close to 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
And he said, everybody asks him, well, how many do you have in stock? He said, None. They just, knock on wood, don't have any problems with them.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about sure dries, and if I remember right, most of your fields are about 25 acres. You've got lots of outcroppings, and I'm going to guess those 25-acre fields are not square from what I know about Kentucky. So I can definitely see where sure dries, whether it be the fact they shut off, whether it be the turn compensation, any of that stuff, is probably a pretty big deal for you guys.
Absolutely, because you got some fields that there's no straight side to plant a straight side. You plant them on a curve. And, you know, a 24-row planter, when you get going around a curve, you get some plants pretty close together and some plants pretty far spaced out on the other side.
Gotcha. Yeah. Shifting gears again a little bit, I was fortunate enough to get involved with some of our product testing for SureSpeed in Texas, and one of our cooperators down there said something to me that I knew was true, and I've heard you say it on a lot of your TikTok videos, and that was how Precision Ag efficiency has allowed you to spend more time with your family. And as somebody who talks about and promotes Ag Leader, I really liked that, but I was amazed that I hadn't thought of that myself, and it's just so simple. Unpack that a little bit, if you don't mind. Precision Ag and family, how do those kind of go hand in hand?
Well, you know, if something happens to us tomorrow, somebody's still going to plant the crop. You know, We got a crop in the field. Somebody's going to harvest that crop. Somebody's going to get it in the bin, whatever else. The farm doesn't care who's taking care of it. But our families are what's, you know, going to miss us when we're gone. And so we've got an almost two-year-old daughter. And I'm just as guilty as anybody of working and missing nights at home or whatever with her. And, you know, my wife's, you know, you don't get this time back. You don't get this time back.
That's right.
And she's 100% right. But being able to go to the field and things work and be able to get it done quicker and more efficiently gives us time to get home. You know, even this spring when we were behind, you could take a break and come home and see the family for bedtime. And then you could go back at night, because you knew where your line was because the technology saved where it was. And You're not as scared to run at night because with the Agfinity and in the cab running, you have an aerial map on the background of that 1200.
Yep.
Even something you might not see at night might show up on an aerial map. Like, hold on, there's a hole maybe coming up here that I might not see. But efficiency of getting things done. You know, if you got a field that's going to take 10 bags of seed and you take 10 bags there, you don't run out of half a bag early.
Yeah.
You can get it done and move on to the next or move on home or whatever it takes.
Yeah. I mean, after you've used auto steer, you realize your shoulders aren't as tight. You know, that those are all pretty straightforward, you know. But it was funny. Something as simple as spending time with your family and not being as stressed out. Well, so that's a pretty big deal.
You know, on your auto steer comment, you're 100% right, because even if you go out early in the morning and say you put in a 12-hour day and you get home at 6 o'clock or 6:30, you've been out all day just dog-tired from working and tearing your arms, and you're just exhausted and don't want to do anything. You sit in the chair and can't get down on the floor and, you know, play Barbie dolls or whatever. Yep. So that kind of stuff is the advantage. Of course, SureSpeed, you know, in Kentucky, our fields, you can't really get up to 12 mile an hour between here and the end of the field. But but anytime you can spend less time in that tractor and doing things that really matter.
Yeah, agreed. So I was curious, do you know off the top of your head that have had Ag Leader products in, which ones have gotten the most likes or comments?
So I think the biggest one so far is one I did last year talking about the SureStop clutch. I just played it off like a neighbor called me to plant, and I took extra seed back to him because he said, "What? You didn't plant enough." And yeah, I did. We just didn't overlap. And that video really took off and had a lot of comments of people asking what it is or saying, yeah, clutches, you know, save us X amount of dollars a year. So that one was really good. And then there was one on Agfinity that had really good views and comments. So those two have been really good.
Excellent. Yeah. I said I was binge watching last night and kind of looking at how many views you get on some of your videos. It's just so cool to see that interaction. And probably there's no real way to know how many of those are actual farmers versus non-farmers, other than maybe some of the questions they ask, but that would be interesting to know. So I know you like to spend time with your family, and that's something that we all want to do more. So when you're not doing TikTok videos, when you're not active on the farm, what are you doing? I'll give you a hint as to what I might like to be doing. I did look up what distilleries were closest to Elizabethtown. So if that gives you a little hint, maybe I do fancy some good Kentucky bourbon. I like craft beer too, but I tend to stick with Kentucky whiskey.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Not farming or making TikTok videos?
So, like I said, spend time with family. We keep a small garden here that we spend time outside. Just daughter's got a trampoline, you know, watching her on that and playing with her and her swings and whatever else. I've got a small bourbon collection. And
yep.
I'd call it a small collection of toy tractors. My wife would say that it is not a small collection. Toy tractors, but those kind of things. We'll kayak some in the summer. We don't take our bourbon on those trips, but we take a few cold beers. But that kind of stuff, we're pretty involved in our community, our farm bureau organizations, and our commodity groups. So we'll spend a lot of time at conventions and meetings, meeting with legislators to keep progressing agriculture forward. You know, we got to give back a little bit to keep the industry what we want it to be. You know, we can't always get what we want when it comes to legislation and things like that. But if we can give a little and they can give a little, we can all get something we can live with. So what's your favorite Kentucky bourbon?
You know, for something that's not terribly expensive, Buffalo Trace. If I'm only going to have one, Booker's, 126 proof is not a session drinking bourbon. I can't remember if Long Branch is a Kentucky or Tennessee.
Long Branch might be a Tennessee. I'm not sure. That might be a Jack Daniel's product.
Yeah. No, it's Wild Turkey. I mean, I was trying to remember where that distillery was at, and I couldn't remember off the top of my head.
Wild Turkey's Kentucky. I'd say it probably is made there in Versailles.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, when I can find it, Henry McKenna's not a bad one either, but some people collect tractors, some people collect bourbon, some people collect hand-rolled cigars, so you know, there's that as well. I don't want to take up your entire day here. This is actually a lot of fun. One thing that I've heard you mention a lot also, that you said it very, very well, and that is the mindset of a lot of today's farmers are more acres, more acres, more acres, more acres. I got to get more, I got to cover more ground, and you don't have necessarily that mindset. Would you explain that?
It seems like everybody's, you got to get bigger to survive. You got to get bigger to survive, which is in a way true, but you really got to be more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Right after I graduated college, I was in a meeting and one of the presenters made the comment of, it's about dollars in the bank, not bushels in the bin.
Yeah.
And you know, from that point really kind of stuck with me. And we've farmed bigger than we've farmed now, or we've farmed smaller.
Yeah.
We're really comfortable with the size we are because we don't feel like we're pushed too much to get things done. But we're blessed with a lot of young farmers here in our county. And if everybody tries to get bigger, there's not going to be enough room for everybody. I'll put it that way, because we are a growing small metropolitan area. Ford Motor Company just announced a twin battery plant for their new electric vehicles.
Saw that.
About 5 miles south of me, about a 1,500 acre site. So it was about 1,500 acres of row crops that's no longer in production, as well as houses coming in on top of that, other businesses. So each year we're losing more and more farmland. So if we can be efficient at what we've got and be comfortable and continue to make money and survive, to me, that's what's most important, because as farmland gets more scarce, we got to be better at what we do. You know, in the last 50 years, we've increased our yields. You know, how much more can we increase it between now and the time that I retire?
Someday,
you know, my grandfather raised a family on 200 acres, five girls and a wife that didn't work. And you couldn't even think about doing that now.
Yeah.
You know, things have changed, but, you know, we live as good of a life or better than what they did by today's standards, by being efficient and taking care of the land and taking care of our animals and just doing the best we can with what we've got.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's, like you said, it's about money in the bank. If you're profitable, as much as I love agriculture and all the things that go with it, at the end of the day, you got to put food on the table, but at the same time, you don't want to get home and only be there for a few hours a day. So it's a good balance. And I think you've found that. And I hope that as far as those efficiencies go, that Precision Ag and specifically Ag Leader is able to play at least a small part in that. I hope that that continues to be good for you. And as I said, as we wind down, goodness gracious, apparently you and I are good long-winded together. Maybe we will have to sit and have a drink here. So as we wind down here, Mark, I want to thank you for spending some time with me today. You know, we're releasing these as part of our 30-year anniversary, and I'm hoping that we're able to keep doing this. If folks will want to follow you on TikTok or social media, how do they find you on the World Wide Web?
So on TikTok, we're Thomas Farms. On Instagram, Thomas Farms KY, Mark Thomas on Twitter. So that's about three places where I can be found.
Excellent. And anybody that might be looking for some really fun videos that are informative on ag, I can't stress enough, go check him out. It's really good. So again, Mark, I just want to say thank you and keep up the good work. You're not only being a voice for agriculture in general, but as far as Ag Leader is concerned, you're definitely showing people that there are efficiencies to be had, whether you have new equipment or you've got equipment that's got a few hours on it. So you're definitely being a good steward to the agriculture community, and I sure appreciate it.
Well, thank you for saying that. I told my wife from the beginning that if it ever gets to where it's not fun anymore, then I'll quit and go on to something else. And that not only goes to the TikTok, but farming and anything else that we're doing. If I don't get enjoyment out of it anymore, we're going to move on and find something that we do. But for now, I really enjoy sharing our story of agriculture in general, whether it be Ag Leader products or whatever, with social media.
Yep.
So far, people seem to like it.
You know, it's funny. I consider myself so blessed that, you know, there are so many people out there that don't get to do what they're passionate about, that it's a job, and don't have that. I have something that I get up in the morning and I smile. Not every day's roses, don't misunderstand, but definitely over the average, it's a positive. And I've only ever known agriculture. I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Well, you said you're director of the trade shows. I've never not had fun at a trade show.
It's not too bad. I get to go home and climb around on tractors, you know, and then I get to go and travel the U.S. and Canada and talk about tractors and stuff. I mean, I get to play with electronics, and it's a lot of fun. I get to meet a lot of people. I get to hear a lot of stories. So it's not something that I ever started out thinking I wanted to do. I got real lucky. I knew I wanted to be an ag because it's all I really ever wanted to do. Now, in my particular case, I had to make a decision early on. Isn't big enough to sustain my entire family. So I'm like, you know what? I'll go to college. I got a degree in agriculture, and I'm able to kind of be a supporting part of it. So I at least get to be there.
So from the outside looking in, I've been very fortunate over the last 2 years to have met a lot of people from Ag Leader.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew that Ag Leader was a somewhat small company in the middle of Iowa. But it's amazing how many people have that same type story that work for Ag Leader that have a small farmer.
Yep.
You know, Brett is one that, you know, small farm on the side and gets to play with corn planters all day at work.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We talked a little bit earlier about why you chose Ag Leader. And when I get an opportunity to talk in front of folks, one of the things that generally comes up is, like you said, your dad was able to get in there and just make it work. And one of the reasons is because a lot of the guys that design the interface, design the button pressing, all the stuff in the background, use the darn things at home. And I think we are unique in that a lot of the folks that work here, whether it be in engineering, sales, support, marketing, they use the stuff. They're familiar with it. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to be in that same boat. So I think it not only helps the passion on it, but it also helps the product themselves.
Absolutely. You can catch stuff that's wrong and at home on the farm. Well, this would be easier if the button was here or whatever.
Yep.
And it says a lot that you've got employees that are using it and feel confident enough in it to use it. You know, it's not like a Pepsi truck driver drinking Coke, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It also helps when you're talking with somebody who's thinking about getting into precision ag. Again, I treat it maybe a little differently than some folks do in that I try to find out what somebody actually may need and not just what I want them to have. Yeah. I mean, I have bourbon bills. I'd like to assume everybody bought the top of everything that we have and five of them. But the truth of the matter is, maybe I'm not doing that grower a favor by selling them that. Maybe they need clutches. Maybe they need something that isn't this. So it's fun to be able to relate my experiences with them to figure out what is best going to suit them. I might sell something to them once, but if I don't do them a service, that's all I'm going to get is one sale out of it. And I'd rather have a partnership with that person to where I'm trusted. I'm lucky to have built that because you can destroy that pretty easy. It takes a while to build trust.
Yes, absolutely. And you all have got such a wide product portfolio. You really do have something for everybody. And you can go as basic and build on it from there. You know, it's very expensive to do everything at one time.
Yeah.
But you can start and build from there. And the things that you're coming out with new work with what you've got, you know, you're in command, 1200, the stuff you're adding works with it. There may be a day down the road where you have to do something and you have to upgrade again.
Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, well, this new thing came out this year, but you got to buy this $10,000 monitor. So you got a really good a base there to build from.
Cool. Excellent. Well, I tell you what, Mark, next time or when we meet face to face, I'll buy the first round.
Sounds good to me.
Be sure to follow us on social media at AgLeader on Facebook and Twitter and at AgLeader Tech on Instagram for more episode postings and updates. Be sure to visit agleader.com/podcast giveaway to enter our contest. We will be giving away a metal farm sign customized with the name and operation of one of our lucky listeners. That's right, we're not above bribing you to listen. Winners will be chosen and contacted 1 week after each episode release. Thanks for listening to the AgLeader Podcast. Tune in Wednesdays for the next episode.